me and asked me about coming, and thank you, sir. And I told him, I said, I don't preach at our church, but maybe four times. I'm one of the elders at New Life Community Church here in Louisa, and I only preach about four or five times a year, and it just happened to be my Sunday. And I said, man, I wish I could help you, brother. And then Kaz called me or texted me this other day, Friday, and said could I come? And I said, yeah, I can come this week. And it's been a rough week. Last week I shared. You'll be amazed when you start trying to live for Jesus. It's tough. Amen. Being a hearer of the word ain't that bad. But when you strive to live for him. And my friend Joe Martin, we call him Front Row Joe because he always sits on the front row. He called me Monday morning about 8 o'clock in the morning. I didn't answer my phone because I didn't have my headset. And I try not to use the phone when I'm driving that tractor and trailer without a headset. And not a few minutes after, I didn't answer it. A few minutes after, I'm driving through this little town making a delivery, and somebody tried to pass me on the right and got caught in the back tires, and they gave me a citation. I hadn't had a moving violation in a long time. And I said, it's not my fault. They're not supposed to pass on the right. But this little town cop, he wasn't going to take no. He was going to give me a citation. So I took that, and later on that week, coming back from Louisiana, my truck broke down. So it's been a tough week. And then I come home, and you have spiritual warfare, and there's always something. When you strive to live, you know, I tell people all the time, before Jesus came into my life, before I got saved, I wasn't on the devil's radar. I was killing myself one hit at a time, one bar room at a time. But when I strive to try to live for Christ, that's when you go under attack. And it's tough to live for Christ, amen. But I'm going to tell you something, it's worth it. The devil doesn't like you to make a difference. The devil doesn't want you to stand up for what Jesus did on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. Amen. Well, we're just a few weeks into the new year. And, you know, I was looking back at some New Year resolutions. Anybody make a New Year's resolution? Anybody have a New Year's resolution? Amen. How many of us still have that New Year's resolution? So, boy, amen. I'm proud of you guys. You know, I just looked at the top 10. The top 10 New Year's resolutions that are broken. Number one would lose weight, get in shape, get fit. Number two, quit smoking. Number three, learn something new. Number four, eat healthier and diet. Number five, get out of debt to save money. Number six, spend more time with family. Number seven, travel to new places. Number eight, be less stressed. Number nine, volunteer. And number 10, to drink less. You know, I looked at that list, and one realization I've come when I look at that list of New Year's resolutions, so many of them come with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Willpower won't get you to do nothing, amen. That's why so many of us make resolutions, and then a few weeks later, we don't have them. See, a lot of us try to change. I tried for 34 years to change myself from the outside in. And you got to change from the inside out. Amen. So many of these things I look at, you know, to quit smoking, to get fit, to take better care of your temple, to eat healthier, to get out of debt. That so many of these things are right in the Word of God. Amen. And we strive to live the Word of God. So many of these things will fall right into place. You know, when I was building this message there, it was right before Christmas. Pastor Fred, our pastor, the pastor's just kind of going through us as we're doing a transition. I was supposed to have preached on December the 10th. So I started praying, and the Lord laid kind of a Christmas message on my heart. And it's a message that will impact all year round. So this is a little bit of a Christmas message, but I'm going to talk about families and family wounds and different things. And one thing that I really came to my mind when I started building this message was, what did you get Jesus for Christmas? Or what did you get Jesus for his birthday? Amen. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Christmas, for what it's become, not for what it really is, but Christmas, when Christmas comes, I really kind of dread it anymore. Not because of the birth of Jesus, by the way, but what it's become, what society has made Christmas. Your son or your daughter gives you a list of five things they want for Christmas. You get them three, and they're ticked off about the two things they didn't. Amen. You know, you have the stresses of buying gifts. If somebody gets you a nice gift, you feel bad that all you got them was a card or a calendar. Amen. And if you got a gift from me, it probably was a calendar from work. If it wasn't for my wife, nobody would get gifts in our family. I'm not a big gift person. Amen. The credit card bills that's going to follow you for the next 6 months a lot of times. The stress and the worry of just bringing families back together. You know, mothers are usually the glue that holds families together. Mothers always want to have their family always back together at Christmas time. But so many times when you bring all your family back together, there's a lot of family wounds. There's a lot of family secrets that come along with that. There might be a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, somebody that just got out of jail, somebody that maybe have stole from your family or robbed you. Somebody in your family that you might have loaned money to, and they never paid you back. There's all kinds of wounds when you bring families back together that come up around Christmas time. Amen? But Christmas, the real reason for the season of Christmas, is the birth of Jesus. Amen? And we're going to talk about two gifts today that you can get Jesus for his birthday. And let me tell you something. You ain't got to wait till next Christmas to give it to him. Amen? You can give it to him anytime through this year. You ask yourself, when people say, I have a relationship with Jesus, ask yourself, why did Jesus come to earth? Why did he leave paradise to come to this lost and dying world? He come to help people. He come to heal people. He come to give and to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. That's what he came for. He came to serve, not to be served. Amen? And when we say Jesus lives into us, we should start seeing some of the things, that some of the characters of Jesus. Amen? Our main passage for today will be Matthew 1, and we're going to go 18 through 25. That's going to be a main passage. But I have dyslexia. I do a lot of things backwards. So I'm going to kind of go around the billy goat's horn to get to his tail. I'm going to kind of go around the other way. So that's going to be our main passage. But let me just give you the characteristics. Let me just give you the few points and the subpoints that I'm going to hit through this message. What is the two greatest gifts we can give Jesus for his birthday? Number one is a relationship with him. A relationship with Jesus Christ. That's number one thing we're going to hit. Number two, we're going to hit a relationship with your spouse or your family. And then some of our sub-points that I'm going to hit when we get into is saving ourselves for marriage. A thing called courtship. We don't hear about courtship that much. What happened to courtship? We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about listening to the Holy Spirit or listening for the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's go ahead and open up in prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity just to come to your house. Just thank you for opening up those doors. Just thank you for the ability to get out of bed, to come to your house. And Lord, just pray. Just pray that I stayed out of your way today. Pray that what I share, you, as I speak to people on the outside, you speak to hearts today, Lord. I pray that I'm just a vessel and to be shared the good news for you. Pray for our friend Sam and his wife. And just thank you for New Song Church, Lord. Just fill this room with your presence. Pray for each one of us, Lord. And we just love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The two greatest gifts you can get Jesus for his birthday. Number one would be a relationship with him. Not religion. Don't ever let religion get in your way of a relationship with him. A personal relationship is the only thing that will get you into heaven. So many times, you know, I tell people Jesus was perfect. So many times when people don't come to Jesus, it's not because of Jesus. It's because of so-called Christians. Sour saints, I call them sometimes. Amen. I remember my uncles would take us to Awana when we were little boys. And they would get to church and they would put that big smile and they'd act all spiritual. But that way to church, there were some grouchy old men. And I said, if that's what a Christian's like, I don't want nothing to do with the Christianity. Amen. And I wasted 34 years of my life of living in this world of alcohol and drug addiction. But thank the Lord, on January the 15th, tomorrow of 06, 15 years, I mean 12 years ago, I surrendered to a life, surrendered to Jesus with a personal relationship. Amen. And I always ask people, you know, what was the date? I know the date I was saved. Now, some of us might have been saved as a little boy or a little girl. We might not remember the exact date, but there should be a time in our life. We were heading in one direction. I know before January the 15th of 06, I know if I died before then, I would be burning in hell right now. Amen. My drug addiction from my life, mainly just not having a personal relationship with Jesus. So I always ask people that. As an elder, as a pastor, a lot of times I'll you know, you get the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, and I'm always like, man, did I say the prayer right? Did I say the prayer right? I need a cheat card. Because I always get nervous, and I get anxiety, and I always say, man, I hope I said it right. So I hope they're saved. But I always go, anymore, I go to the book of Romans, Romans 10:9. I always look at this verse, and this verse will tell somebody if they're saved or not. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe it where? Not in your head, right? But you believe it in your heart. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you may be saved, it just says you will. You say, that's very simple, amen? It's all about the heart, amen? It's not about a special prayer. Special prayer ain't getting you in heaven. It's about the heart, amen? Having that heart relationship with Jesus Christ. Your second point. Is a relationship with your spouse and your family. You know, I'm a big recovery guy. I'm not much on sobriety. I'm a big recovery guy because I know one thing about recovery there is I remember a guy named John Stagwell. After a few years after my conversion, and I was going to a place called Stafford Crossings. They had a Celebrate Recovery every Thursday night. I was attending step study on Tuesday, and I went for about 3.5 years. I remember about the second year I was there, about two and a half years into my sobriety, I remember John looking me in the eye. And John didn't say a whole lot, but when he said something, when he talked, he said something. Amen. He looked me dead in the eyes. He said, "Jerry, how's your recovery?" And I said, "Oh, man, I put my little bird chest out. I said, man, I got 2.5 years sobriety." He said, "Man, that's good. I'm so proud of you for that." But I didn't ask that question. Ask you how your recovery. He could tell I was a dry drunk. Amen. And recovery is where you find out. When you look back through your life, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly. You see where you got off track. Amen. If you never go back and find out why I went down the wrong road, something else will knock you down. That's why it tells you, and I think it's in the book of Matthew, it says when a demon leaves, when you clean and sweep, when you get that demon out of your life, it says that demon leaves. It comes back and says, hey, that house is clean and swept. But then it goes and gets 7 demons worse off than he is, and your life is worse off. What it does is, hey, I got some roadblocks for this one thing, but the devil's working on it. I'm a very insecure person. That's why alcohol, I was self-medicating with alcohol and drugs. I filled that empty void that only Christ can fill. The soul of man is so big that only Jesus Christ can fill it, and I tried to fill it with alcohol, drugs, sex, money. Everything this world said was going to fill it would always leave me longing for something else. Amen? Jesus was the only thing in my life that could fill that empty void. I jumped ahead of myself there. I did. You know, when I looked at those 2 points, I kind of jumped ahead of myself a little bit there. But as you look at those 2 points, a relationship with him and a relationship with your family, if you look at the book, let's flip to the book of let's see here. I'm not got flipped over. Oh, to the book of Mark. I'm sorry. To the book of Mark. Mark 12. We're going to look at 2 verses. These 2 verses, you know, when I was asked to share that message right there, relationship with Jesus is the best gift I could ever give Jesus. And the second gift I could ever give Jesus is a gift of a relationship with my family and my spouse. That was the 2 greatest gifts that came to my heart. And if you look right here in the book of Mark, Mark 12, we're going to look at 30 and 31. If you look at these 2 verses, they're in red. They're very important. And the verse 1 says this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Amen. with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Love him with everything. Amen. Give it him everything. He wants every part of your life. Amen. You know, so many times when you go into a house, you go into somebody's house, usually the living room is the cleanest room in the house, right? But see, Jesus wants to see every aspect of your life. Oh, don't go in there. That's, leave that door shut. That's the bedroom. The bed's messed up. Don't go look in the closet. The closet is where when I clean up, that's where I throw everything. Amen. But see, Jesus loves us enough that he wants to see every part of our life. Amen. As a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, I drive a tractor and trailer for a living. There's so, all the way up and down the East Coast, I've been high in drug houses and crack houses and bar rooms. For the first several years of my recovery, I'd have to stop that tractor and trailer and get on my knees in that back of that sleeper and ask the Lord, help me get down the road. Amen. If I didn't have that relationship with him, he wouldn't help me. Now, when I get ready to get short with somebody or tell somebody off, if I fall to my knees and ask him for the same help with that, that's just as important as quit using drugs. Amen. Holding my tongue. Amen. It might freak the person out when I fall down on my knees and start asking for forgiveness and ask me to help through it. But thank Jesus, he'd humble me enough. But he wants to help me with every little thing, not just with the alcohol and drugs. He wants to help me with every little spot, right? Food addiction, angry. Help me to control my tongue. Help me to think. Help me to use these two ears quicker than I use this one mouth. Amen. Help me with that. Jesus wants to help us with every little spot of our life. Oh, let me read the second one. Here's the second one. And the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor. Now, your neighbor is not just the person that lives beside you. Your neighbor is anybody you come in contact with. Your neighbor, as yourself. Therefore, there is no other commandment greater than these two. And then I was amazed because when those two topics came up on my heart, you know, if I could share them two topics with you and I don't support it with this, it's just my opinion. Amen. This is what changes life, a relationship with Jesus in the Word of God. If it's something I'm just sharing with you, that's just my opinion. But that's it too, a relationship with him and a relationship with your family. That is from the Word of God. Amen. You know, I always think of my favorite story in the Bible. It's from the book of Luke. It's the prodigal son. I was a prodigal son. I went off. You know, I always worked, but I was kind of a functioning alcoholic and drug addict for 17 years. And towards the end there, it got a good grip on my life. I had three DUIs, a hit and run. Spent a lot of overnighters in jail. But it talks about this prodigal son. And he tells his dad, he says, I want my inheritance. So I can, you know, he wanted to leave. So he's telling his dad, he said, I want you dead. I don't want you. You don't get inheritance till the dad passes. I don't want you, but I want the money. So he takes the money. The first thing he does is leave. Now you ask yourself, why did he leave? Because there was rules in that home. Amen. They had to go to church. Amen. They had to participate. They couldn't have prostitutes over. They couldn't go home and drink. They couldn't do that things in that house. That's why that young man, first thing he wanted to do was leave. Amen. And that story, you know, it's so beautiful. That story, the father never tries to hinder him from going. The best way to save somebody's soul is not allow them to do that in your home. Amen? Still love them. Because it says in that passage, it says he looks for him. He sees him. He actually sees him from a far distance. After he goes lives in the pig pen, he comes back. He actually sees him because he's looking for him. He's praying for him. But he knew he wasn't allowed to come back till he got his stuff straight. Amen? And he looks there. But the beautiful part, if you look at the end of that story, when you think about that, Luke 15:32. I love this part of the story. After that young man went, he blowed all of his money. He blowed it on extravagant living. Look what 32 says. And it was right that we should be merry and glad. They see him coming back, and they get merry and glad. You know, my oldest daughter, she's 23 years old now. I remember probably back, I'm not the best with timelines, but probably 6 years ago, she told me one day, she said, Dad, I got saved. And I said, man, that's powerful stuff. That's beautiful. She's like, I didn't think it was that big. I said, that's the biggest deal. I said, I don't care what all you do with your life. And she's a smart young lady. She's got a great job. She's married. She has a little boy, beautiful home. A lot of great things this world would say are great. That relationship with her is the best thing that she could ever give. Do it done, amen? I took my whole family. I got all my family together, my brothers and my mom and dad. We went out to a big steakhouse, and we got a big steak for that. That was a celebration. That's a time to be merry, to be excited, because I will spend eternity with my little girl because of that. Amen. I about fell down when they gave me the bill, but I would do it again. Amen. That's a powerful stuff, you know. But it was the struggle that brought that young man to relationship with Jesus. Amen. And it was exciting to see my little girl. I think about this little boy that's walking through the woods. There's a little boy, he's walking through the woods. And he looks up in a tree and he sees a cocoon sitting there. And he sees that little cocoon pushing and wiggling and kind of shaking around. And this little young man, he says, I want to help that butterfly in there. So he reaches in his pocket and he pulls his little pocket knife out. And he just puts a little mark down the side of there and kind of cuts the side of that cocoon. And the little butterfly comes out and falls to the ground, and ultimately the little butterfly dies. Now, why did it happen then? See, it didn't have the struggle to get it strong, to make its wings strong so it can fly. Amen? He was trying to help it. And that's what we do with a lot of people. We will get in the way of Jesus by trying to help them. Amen? We had a big man come from prison. I remember this big guy come in to CR one Friday night, and when he shook my hand, I got a pretty good-sized hand on me. He shook my hand disappeared on me. I said, man, this guy's big. And he had battle wounds and tattoos all over him. And he talked to me, and I shared with him the gospel. And I didn't see him for a few weeks. And he called me. He was at the Rebel Inn. I think it's the Kingdom Inn now, but it was the Rebel Inn back then. And he called, and he said, man, he said, JR, he said, you gave me your card that night. I don't have nobody to go to. I just got out of prison. I don't have no job. This is the last night I had money for a room. And my heart's breaking, man. I'm codependent as they come. I'm like, man, I'm going to get this guy a room, you know. Thank the Lord. You know, I ain't got an abundant amount of money, but thank the Lord. Through all my drug addiction, I always had somewhere to lay my head. I had a roof over my head, amen. So my heart's breaking for him. But I felt the Holy Spirit step on my toe just as clearly as any ever did. He said, I don't want you to buy that man a room tonight. I'm like, what? That's the Christian thing to do, to help this man out. He's there for a good reason. He said, I want you to pray for him. And I prayed for that man on the phone. I guarantee you this. I bet he hadn't cried in years. He was hard as a nail. And that man wept like a baby. You see, I could have changed his day. I could have helped him a day. But Jesus could change his life. Amen? And if I would have bought him that room that day, you know, he wouldn't have had to call on Jesus. He would call on JR. JR would have become his God. Every time I get in trouble, well, JR, he helped me out. Amen? Staying out of the Lord's way. I guarantee you that guy hadn't cried in years. He might have beat his family. He might have stolen from him. He was probably there for a good reason. I'm automatically getting mad about the parents because of this man being stuck in this room. But he's there for a reason. Amen? A lot of times we will get in the way of the struggle. The struggle is what brings us to our knees. Amen? The struggle is what brings us to Jesus Christ. Amen? Your relationship with your spouse and your family, that's one of the greatest things you'll ever see. When you go through an inventory, we do inventory on Friday nights. It's one of the biggest steps. It's step four. You go through that thing, and they have like 8 or 10 lessons we talk about inventory. And inventory is like going back in your life and seeing. Growing up as a young man, I was into school outside of D.C., and I wore cowboy boots. And cowboy boots in the city ain't cool. Amen. I had dyslexia. I read about a second, third grade level, thank the Lord. My mother sent me to all kind of tutors and specialists all through school trying to help her little boy, and I never could read. I remember before I went to rehab and get saved, I remember my daughter Jessica wanted me to read an I Can Read book to her, and I tried to read it, and I could read the words, but I couldn't read it where she could understand it. I remember throwing that book and saying, I ain't got time. I got to go to work. You know, I was ashamed of that. But it's amazing. When I read now through the Bible, you hear me catch on words. But before Jesus, I couldn't read it all. Amen. Jesus can help us through this. But I was picked on because of that. I was beat on there. And all through elementary school, I remember I dreaded school. I dreaded coming home. I worked with my dad. And whatever I'd done at home, nothing was ever good enough. It's still, I love my dad. I'm blessed to be working with my dad. But I'm going to tell you, it's hard to work with a dad. Amen. I don't care how many miles you drive or how much work you do. It's always you could have done more or done better, done more miles or done more work. Amen. So it was tough. But I remember around the 7th, 8th grade, around middle school, I became hard-hearted. The kids beat on me. I cried every day. From that time, I didn't cry anymore. I quit crying around 7th, 8th grade, whatever I was, 9, 10 years old. I didn't cry anymore because I got so hard-hearted until Jesus Christ came into my life. Amen. That's where alcohol and drugs, when you numb yourself, when you self-medicate, you don't care what people think. You know, I knew I had to quit drugs. They were killing me. Had me down to 168 pounds. I was dying. I was melting like a popsicle on a hot summer day. But I never thought about functioning in life without alcohol. I drank beer just to go to town. I drank beer to do anything. To get up here in front of you people, I can only do it out of two things. High or drunk, or high on the Holy Spirit. Amen. I guarantee I ain't been drinking or using no drugs this morning, but I am high on Jesus Christ. Amen. He gives me the ability to do that. Amen. But when you look at the inventory, when you go back through your life and you see where you've bared off, I seen that little boy that was picked on that was real timid till that time, then he got real mean. And right up to the time I met Jesus, I would fight at a drop of a hat. I would go around with the wish factor. I just wish somebody would say something. Amen. Till Jesus came into my life. And now I can't hardly listen to worship music or hear somebody pray or watch a movie without bawling like a little baby. Now I'm so soft. You may have had an abusive father growing up. Maybe he beat you. Maybe he was verbally abusive. You know, my dad, you know, me and my little brother got to talking. He's one of my main mentors, accountability partners, when I first got out of rehab. I remember talking to him one time. I told him, I said, I'd rather dad just whip me. He's like, man, you're an idiot. What is wrong with you? Dad whipped you. You couldn't even sit down for a week, you know. But dad, that whipping would go away. But he had said things to me that hindered me still to today with my insecurities and things. Amen. Now, my dad loved us both the same. He treated us both the same. My brother, you could talk to him all day long. He said, yeah, Dad, just keep on talking. Just leave that belt on. Amen. But it's amazing. We have the same dad, but things will affect people different. You may have had a mother that was addicted to drugs or alcohol. You may have come from a family that went through a divorce or a broken home. You may have been given up for adoption. You may have been sexually molested or even raped. These are horrific things to deal with, and you cannot get through them without Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you today, you don't want to go through life with unforgiveness. When you don't have forgiveness, hey, the other person half the time don't even know that you have unforgiveness towards them. When you're the one that's unforgiving, you're the prisoner in that relationship. You're the prisoner that's holding on to that bondage. So I'm going to challenge you today to have forgiveness with people. You know, a lot of times on Friday nights, my friend Hank Stodinger, he's our ministry leader. I was the ministry leader at Celebrate Recovery for 7 years. Now he is, and I help him. And he done a lesson there the other week. It's on denial. He's talking about living a life of denial. And he talked about taking off your mask. And we have a thing. We do child care there on Friday nights. And they do a thing called Celebration Place. And they take this little plate, like a paper plate, and they put it on a stick. And the little kids draw a big smile on it. And they'll put the smile up there, and they'll frown behind it. That's denial. That's living a life of denial. We walk around smiling. My friend Mark, his little boy, brought him out. I said, Dad, look at the face I made. Amen. It's such an amazing thing. As so many of us will walk around with a big smile on our face when we're dying inside. Amen. But to deal with those wounds, he talked about freezing your emotions. That little boy that was picked on, when I got to middle school, my emotions froze. I isolated a lot. I was very mean. My emotions froze. Amen. I didn't cry. I didn't know how sad. And nothing bothered me. I convinced myself that nothing bothered me. Amen. Until I unfroze my own. I lived a life of denial. He took the word denial, and he took the D and the E and the N, the I and A and L. They did acrostic. And the D was this: disables our feelings. If you live a life of denial. Number, the E, he said, you had energy loss. And he went into elaboration about each one of these. The N negates growth. The I isolates us from God. The L, it lengthens the pain. You know, a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I was going somewhere, and a couple of our trucks have XM radio, and a lot of them don't. And like around here, I push listen to 90.5. I know the Christian, like I go up north, I know 105 through Washington, and Baltimore's 90.5. But a lot of times I get in places and I drive in one of the other trucks, and you just flip to the radio, and I come across a country song. It was a Miranda Lambert song. And it's a very catchy tune. It's a, it's, it's, it's a The song is pretty catchy. But if you really listen to the words, it's a very sad song, amen? And it's a way that a lot of people live. But listen to this song. Just listen to the lyrics. It's called Mr. Tin Man. Now, everybody knows the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man, all through the movie, all he's doing is looking for a heart. He wants to feel. He wants a heart, amen? But listen to the lyrics. It says, hey there, Mr. Tin Man. You don't know how lucky you are. You shouldn't spend your whole life wishing for something that's bound to fall apart. Every time you feel empty, better thank your lucky stars. If you felt one breaking, you'd never want a heart. Wow, that's sad. Here's the second verse. Hey there, Mr. Tin Man. You don't know how lucky you are. I've been on the road that you're on. It didn't get me very far. So there was a time in her life that she had emotions, that she had feelings, and they all got shut down. She's trying to prepare the Tin Man. You don't want a heart. You don't want to deal with this emotional train wreck that I'm in. You ain't missing nothing. Because love is so hard. Take it from me, darling. You don't want a heart. How many people live a life like that? They're emotionally dead. They cover, you know, and the devil's good. The devil can move you to from a drug and alcohol, from things, pornography addiction, from things that we look at and say, that's bad. And he can move it to something. Don't look too bad. It might be a workaholism. Amen. So, no, that guy's a good guy. He works 7. He's a good, hardworking man. He's providing for his family. He's doing. You know, some of the laziest men work 7 days a week. Amen. Working's easy for me. I've worked all my life. I can work from sunup to sundown, drive a truck all night. I've just done it over and over. But trying to be a dad, trying to be a husband, trying to help other people come to Christ, trying to slow down enough, that's work for me. Amen. So it's amazing how the devil, you know, he took the big things, the nasty mouth. He took the drugs and the alcohol, got 12 years sobriety. But he'll move around. He'll get you in other areas of your life. Amen? So focus. You know, I always tell people when they hear a testimony on Friday nights, we share testimonies. Debbie's friend shared a beautiful testimony here the last time I was here. But so many times people have testimonies. They're like, I don't have a testimony. That's the greatest testimony. Amen? That testimony is big to you. Never try to compare your testimony to somebody else. Amen? Because one thing I've learned in 12 years of relationship, there's no perfect homes. Just because it ain't horrific, it ain't something way out there. Thank the Lord you were smart enough because I could have died in that thing. Don't compare yourself. That sin is big to you. That hurt, that habit, that hang-up you went through is big to you. Share it. There's people that, Debbie's friend, there's ladies, there's men that don't have the horrific drugs. They can impact people that I'll never touch. Amen? Never downplay your testimony. Let's look at the passage. Let's look at our key passage for today. So now we finally get to the key passage here. Number one, verse 18, I'm sorry. 118, it says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's very powerful. She was engaged to Joseph. And before she was married, amen, before they came together, before they had sexual relations, she was found to be pregnant before they actually got married. The little study that I'd done on this was, she was roughly 15 to 17 years old. Saved herself from marriage. She was a virgin. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. My first mentor, when I come out of rehab, his name was a man named Roger Bevins. A beautiful man. And he was probably in his late 60s. And he discipled me for about a year and a half. And he'd only been with his wife. And I'm like, man. And I used to think, I said, how is this guy going to teach me anything? All the bad decisions, all the wrong turns, all the things I've done. How is he going to teach me anything? I just think this guy's kind of naive. I thought he was a little weird because you don't hear that too many. You don't hear the word virgin I mean, we need to drive that home to our sons and our daughters, that that is a beautiful, not just to our daughters, by the way, to our sons too, amen? Because there's one thing that one of my wishes in my life, I wish I was saved as a young man. I wish I would have saved myself just for my wife. How much more beautiful, how much more intimate our relationship would have been if I'd have done that, amen? Now, thank the Lord there is forgiveness at the cross. The Lord can take all this mess and make a message. He can rebuild it. Amen. But we need to drive that. We need to tell people our testimonies when we make wrong roads. Because it might help the next generation to stay on track. Amen. Amen. That's one of our souls when we saved ourselves from marriage. Let's read the next verse here. I'm sorry. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Amen. It says Joseph was a just man. He followed the law. You know, he wasn't like me. If the speed limit is 65, I run 70. You know, I run that little grace period. Not Joseph. He did everything by the law. He was a law-abiding citizen. He strived to be a very lawful man, a law-abiding citizen. Joseph, he didn't understand what was going on, right? Could you imagine being engaged and your fiance coming to you and saying, hey, I'm pregnant and I have not been with a man? That's a hard pill to swallow, amen? But Joseph, he knew Mary. He knew something is not adding up right, even because we even got to the next verse where it talks about the angel comes to him. Before he even did that, he knew something wasn't right. He knew something because he did a thing called courtship with Mary. He knew Mary. He was friends with Mary. Joseph didn't understand what was going on, but he knew something wasn't adding up. What would have happened to Mary if Joseph would have exposed her? They would have stoned her to death. Amen. And Joseph, you know, you can imagine his heart's breaking. You can imagine when somebody's heart gets broken down, the first thing they do is they go get on two Facebook and they tell everybody that's a dirty dog. Amen. They go tell everybody they come in contact what they've done to them. They go, they want them to hurt the same way they're hurting. Amen. But Joseph said something, even though his heart was probably breaking, he didn't understand what was going on. He said, Mary, that's something's not adding up. Mary is a woman of integrity. Mary, I know her. I've spent time with her. I know her. She's my friend. I know with her. You know, I heard of some teenagers, two boys and two girls. Teenagers, they went to a football game one night, and they all went out to the football game. And after the football game, they said, all the kids were going to a party. And the one, they knew there was probably going to be drinking at this party and some drugging and fighting, maybe sex or things. They knew. This little girl knew that they were going somewhere they shouldn't be. Right? So the one little girl told him, she said, take me home. And the other little girl looked at her and said, why, you afraid your daddy might hurt you? She said, no. She said, I'm afraid I might hurt my daddy. Amen. She loved her daddy enough to say, I'm afraid I might hurt my daddy. You got to ask ourselves that when we do things. Are we going to hurt our daddy? Are we going to hurt our father? Are we going? We make a decision. Are we going to hurt our Father Jesus? Amen. He died on the cross for us. Amen. Let's read our next verse there. And that's so beautiful because right here, even before Joseph heard from the angel that we were going to read about, he knew something wasn't adding up. He knew something wasn't right. He trusted Mary. You know, so many times people will talk about us. You know, my wife brought up something that she heard a while back about something somebody said about me and my family. And so many times I've learned that there's so many fires I don't go put out. Not because you don't care. It's just because the people that really know me know that ain't true. And I ain't got time to put every little fire out. I pray that this 12 year, that I'm not perfect. I still have rough edges on me, but they're getting smoother because Jesus has been following them off. Amen. The Christian walk is like panning for gold. You know, the first one, you get that big pan, you get the big rocks. I got the alcohol and the drugs and the fighting and all that stuff. But then you get the finer things in life. You keep getting the finer screen and keep molding yourself down to become the person Christ wants you to be. I said, if you spend all your time trying to put out fires and trying to make sure everybody, hey, Christ knows, and the people that know you know. Amen? And that's all that matters. Amen? Don't worry about what everybody thinks, because people are always going to have opinions. People are always going to have thoughts. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, he was thinking, he was pondering on what would have happened. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of God, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he brings peace. Even though he knew about it, he brought peace to his life. Verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So if you have a relationship with him, he will save you from your sins. Amen. He will be your defense lawyer when you draw your last breath. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. Then Joseph, being arose from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took him his wife. Verse 25, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him Jesus. Could you put yourself in Mary's shoes in this thing? The two men that she loved the most in this world, her dad and her husband, man, they don't know what's going on. Amen. But thank the Lord they trusted in Mary. Amen. But I just put myself in Mary's shoes. That's got to be a horrific thing. You know, sometimes the Lord, when we step out on faith, you hear about this in other countries, that people get killed for their faith. Amen. Now Christ knew the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He knew Joseph was going to put her away secret. He knew these things. But she was asked to almost die for Jesus. Amen. If she was found out, and if he would have brought her out secret, she would have died. Sometimes Jesus will ask you to do things that don't make a lot of sense. Amen. But you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen to what he says to you. Listen, and then be obedient to do it. We don't want to just be hearers of the world. Some of the things that Jesus may ask you to do may cost you everything, may even cost you your life. Amen. My wife gave me this story here. We'll close with it. And this story is about a couple. The lady has really long hair down to her back. And it's from a book. It's a quote from a book. I forget the name of the book. But and they're very poor. The husband had a watch, and he didn't have a band for it. And it was just touched me. You know, when she read it to me, it just really touched me about marriage. It says here, Jim and his wife Della are a couple living in a modest apartment. On Christmas Eve, with only $1.87 in hand and desperate to find a gift for Jim, Della sells her hair for $20 to a nearby hairdresser and eventually finds a platinum pocket watch fob chain for Jim's watch for $21. So she sells her hair, most prized possession, her hair. Satisfied with the purchase, satisfied with the perfect gift for Jim, Della runs home and begins to prepare pork chops for dinner. At 7 o'clock, Della sits at the table near the door, waiting for Jim to come home. Unusually late, Jim walks in and immediately stops short at the sight of Della, who had previously prayed that she was still pretty to Jim. Della then admitted to Jim that she sold her hair to buy his present. Jim gives Della her present, an assortment of combs, useless now that her hair is short. Della then shows Jim the chain she bought for him, to which Jim says he sold his watch to get the money to buy her combs. Although Jim and Della are now left with gifts that are nearly, that neither one can use, they realize how far they are willing to go to show their love to each other and how priceless their love is. That's a beautiful story, ain't it? They swapped that. They made that house into a home, amen? That's what Jesus Christ would do. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day, Lord. Just thank you for each person, each boy, each girl, each man, each woman that thought enough of you today, Jesus, to get out of bed, to come out into fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, pray for each one of our friends and family members that may not feel good and may have things going on they couldn't make it today. We want to especially pray for our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, the men, the women that we work with, the ones that don't know you personally. We pray that they see something different in us, Lord. We pray that they see when they see us come to work, when they see us come home, when they see us go through town, they see your presence in our life. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here today that may be religious, they don't have that relationship, I pray you give them the strength and the courage to get up, just to come forward and to invite you into their life, invite you into their hearts. I just pray for that today. I pray that they can't leave here until they get it right with you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I pray for us, the ones of us that are saved, that our flames may be fizzling out. We may not be as passionate as we once were. Reignite that fire in us, Lord. Help us to be excited about what you've done on that cross 2,000 years ago, Lord. Help us not to take that for granted. And Lord, what we heard here today, as you spoke to hearts today, Lord, just give us the courage, the boldness, and the strength when we step out in that mission field today, back out those front doors. Give us the boldness to stand up for you, Lord. Give us the boldness to share with our neighbor. Help them, Lord, to see a difference in us, to see something different that only you can produce. I pray for that. Pray for Sam and his wife. Pray for them to heal and to feel better, Lord. Just thank you for their testimony. Thank you for them living a life that glorifies you, Lord. Thank you for each person here. Thank you for that list of prayer requests and the list of just being thankful for, Lord. Thank you for that. And we just love you, Jesus. We praise you. And we give you all the glory. And God's people said, amen. Mm-hmm.